This morning we'll be looking at the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. Finished chapter 11 last week, and this week we'll begin chapter 12, looking at the first 14 verses. So once again, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry. They began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." He went on from there and entered their synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. He said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched out, and it was restored, healthy like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. Let's once again bow and seek the Lord's blessing. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for these words that you have given us this morning. We pray that as we look at your scriptures, that you would, by your Spirit, guide and direct our hearts and our minds to you. May you, Father, give us understanding and give us eyes to see. And Lord, may you bless my mind and my mouth that I may think and speak clearly this morning. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. In these verses, really at the end of them, the animosity that Jesus is beginning to face becomes intensified. We begin to see it grow. And as the Pharisees at the close of these verses go out and conspire how to destroy our Lord and Savior, how to bring him to ruin. But what precipitates that? What makes that them take that step? Well, again, Jesus is instructing them. He's challenging this house of cards that they had set up, this authority that they had in the laws that they had maintained and erected around the law of God itself. As Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount was taking what they had taught and deconstructing it and teaching the truth, what he taught and what God wrote, so here Jesus, through some very visible lessons, is doing the same thing. And this time with their most prized law, the laws regarding the use of the Sabbath day. But what Jesus teaches us here, I believe, goes beyond merely just instruction about Sabbath observance. Sure, these things take place on the Sabbath day, and he is using the fourth commandment as the impetus to teach what he is teaching us in these verses, and to teach what he is teaching the Pharisees and their application of the law and their use of the law. I believe what he is teaching us here in these verses is that we're to apply the law with mercy. We to apply the law with mercy. And we'll be looking at it in three points. First of all, the Pharisees confront Jesus about Sabbath observance. Secondly, Jesus teaches them through examples. And then lastly, Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, desires mercy. So first of all, the Pharisees confront Jesus about Sabbath observance. You see this in verses 1 and 2, then also in verses 9 and 10. It starts out, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." And then in verse 9, he went on from there and entered their synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand, and they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So they might accuse him. Now the immediate context of these verses, as Matthew gives them to us, is immediately following the verses we looked at last week, where Jesus calls out and says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." He says, "I will give you rest. I'll give you rest for your souls." And so,
Hello, this is the pastor of the Seattle Reformed Presbyterian Church. My name is Ryan Hemphill. I thank you for listening to the sermon. Sadly, while I was recording the sermon, my recorder stopped. I noticed it partway through and was able to hit record again, and the sermon should resume shortly. My apologies for this inconvenience, and once again, thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you.
It was five loaves of bread that were put before God, and it was a reminder of His provision and of His care. And God's specific instructions were that only the Levites were to eat of those loaves. They were not for anyone else, only for the Levitical priests. Except as Jesus references in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 to 6, we have David and his men are fleeing Saul, who is going to pursue them. And they left in haste. They didn't have many provisions with them. And so they go to where the tabernacle had been set up. And they go to Abiathar the priest. And David asks him for provisions. And so Abiathar gives him the five loaves of the bread of presence to eat. David wasn't supposed to. He wasn't a Levitical priest. His men were not Levitical priests. And yet, they were given those five loaves. Jesus also references in teaching them, "Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless?" As we read the Old Testament, the law of God, do we consider what the priests are actually doing? Each day or each week, as they lead the people in the worship of God, they themselves are breaking the fourth commandment. They are breaking the fourth commandment. They are working on the Sabbath day. And that is what Jesus is referencing here, about how the priests were profaning the Sabbath, he says, because they were working. In a similar way, you could say that, you know, ministers of the gospel, in the same way, we profane the Sabbath every single week as we work in leading the people in worship. But these things were necessities. That's the point that Jesus is getting at. David and his men were starving. They needed food. They needed to be fed. They had nothing else with them. And so Abiathar the priest, out of mercy, out of compassion, he gives them the five loaves of bread that they weren't supposed to eat. The work of the priests of the Old Testament, it was necessary. And so they are guiltless, as Jesus says. There had to be someone to lead the people in worship, to profane the Sabbath so that the sacrifices could have been made. And so it was necessity. These things were necessary. And also in the next section, as Jesus begins to answer their question regarding the man with the crippled hand, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out?" There were a couple of views on this. There was actually a camp that said, well, no, you should leave your sheep there. You could throw some food down into the pit, but you should not pull your sheep out of that pit. Just leave it there until Sunday comes around. You know, back then it was Saturday. It's the Sabbath. Then the crowd that Jesus is talking to, though, from Jesus' question, you know, we can see the type of answer he was expecting. The crowd that he was talking to, they would have understood, well, they were of the camp, yes, you know, you go, you get your sheep. It's a life. You need to get it out of there, out of danger. Or even if it's just because it's not a life, but it's your property. It's your way of life. You know, it won't be good to lose that. You need to get it out of that pit. Well, Jesus says and asks the question of how much more value is a man than a sheep. It's very much like Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, where Jesus is teaching on anxiety. And he rightly points out how God knows each and every one of the birds of the air, and not one falls to the ground without his knowledge. He says, how much more value are you than birds? God is watching over you. Well, in the same way, a man is much more valuable than a sheep. And so as Jesus asks his question, what he's doing here is it's mercy for mercy's sake. And as I pointed out, this man did not have to be healed on the Sabbath. He would have survived just fine for one more day with his withered hand. But Jesus, out of the goodness and kindness of his heart, he healed him. What a miraculous scene it must have been. You know, Jesus says to him, stretch out your hand. You know, it's one of those scenes in the Bible that I hope if it's made into a movie that they like pour all the special effects money into a scene like this. Of seeing a man's hand that is withered then just come back to life and be fully useful again. It is a remarkable miracle. It is for mercy's sake that Jesus does it. In these two ways in which Jesus teaches the Pharisees, what he's pointing out is what we call works of necessity and works of mercy. That we would interpret, you're allowed to do works of necessity on the Sabbath. You're allowed to do works of mercy on the Sabbath. And this is God's own pattern. Since the creation of the world, he entered into his rest, but he continues to do the necessary work of sustaining his creation. And he also continues to do very merciful acts in giving us what we don't deserve. God doing works of necessity and mercy, even though he's entered into his eternal Sabbath rest. Well, as we consider these two categories, necessity and mercy, really at the core of both is mercy itself. If you consider acts of necessity, what we would call, you know, someone coming in who's starving and hungry, as David was when he went to the temple. They don't have food and they need to eat to provide them with food on the Sabbath day, to provide them with what they need. It's an act of necessity. But in that also is an act of mercy. See, Jesus is calling us to be merciful. He's calling us to be merciful. And we see that in the final section as we look at verses 7 and 8 and then also 13 and 14. Here, Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, desires mercy. We see in verses 7 and 8, and if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And then in the final verses, he says to the man, stretch out your hand. The man stretches it out, and it was restored healthy like the other. Jesus, in verse 7, if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. He's referencing Micah. First of all, Micah chapter 6. Verses 6 through 8. Here we read these verses. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? In a similar way, Hosea 6, chapter 6 says the very same thing. So Jesus says, if you would have understood this, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. So there he's lumping his disciples with those who are guiltless in their actions. At least what the Pharisees are bringing regards that day. But what Jesus desires and what God desires is mercy. He desires his people to love justice, to love kindness, to be merciful. You see, we could have every single form right. But if we do not have mercy, can we truly say we have God? You know, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, there Jesus, he's giving a woe to the scribes and Pharisees for how meticulously they tithed. Even their herbs, they would tithe. But he challenged them and he said, woe, because you've forgotten justice. You've forgotten mercy. You've forgotten kindness. And then he said, you should have done the latter without forgetting the former. So it was good to have the forms. It was good to go through those meticulous steps. But to lose mercy is too great of a cost. So why could Jesus do this? Why could he take what the Pharisees had built up meticulously and bring it down to ruin? To the point that they would then go out and seek how to destroy him. Because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Son of Man. He has the authority to do this. Again, or just a way of reminder that Son of Man references to reference that prophecy of Daniel, where he sees the vision of one like the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of the Ancient of Days. That is a picture of the ascension of Jesus Christ. He has the authority and he has the power to do this. He alone has the authority to say what can or cannot be done on the Sabbath day. And he has given it for our good. As the Lord of the Sabbath, as the one who created this day in the first place, as the angel of the Lord who descended on Mount Sinai and gave the law of God, the second person of the Trinity before the incarnation, giving the law of God on Mount Sinai. He's the one who gave us the Sabbath. And he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And he did it for our good. That's what Mark chapter 2, verse 27 means. That the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He means that the Sabbath was made for our good. For our complete and total good. It's a day where God has said, rest in me. Rest in me. Now we like to say that, well, you know, each day is my Sabbath. That's the Christian Sabbath. I worship every day. Well, good. We should, every day of our life, worship God. But we're kidding ourselves if we don't actually set aside an actual day to formally worship Him. It'll never be done. It's not how our hearts work. So God, in His grace, in His mercy, said, this day, worship me. And you will find rest for your souls on this day. I will meet with you. I will feed you. I will nourish you. I will comfort you. I will challenge you. I will give you rest for your souls. He did it for our good. And why should we be merciful? The Lord Jesus is teaching us. He wants mercy. He desires mercy. Well, later in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, Jesus there gives the parable of the wicked servant. It's the parable where a servant comes to his master and he is forgiven of a huge debt. He immediately turns around, goes out to his fellow servant who owed him a small debt, and throws his fellow servant into prison until he could pay every last cent. So what happens is the master finds out. He brings back in the first servant who was forgiven much. He throws him and his family into prison until he pays every last cent. Why? He was a wicked servant because he didn't show mercy to his fellow servant. After the mercy that had been shown to him, after the mercy that had been poured out upon him by his master, he goes out and he is wicked and he is unmerciful. The context of those verses is the question that the disciples ask, how many times should I forgive my brother? Jesus calls us to be merciful. Why? Because he has shown us mercy. He has shown us grace. He has poured out his love upon us. And as those who have received the mercy of God, he calls us to be merciful to our brother and sister. And that is what he is telling us in these verses. We are to show mercy as we have been shown mercy. Jesus uses the Sabbath day to show us this, about how the law in its application beyond even the Sabbath day was being applied in a way that is overbearing and beyond even what it was meant to do in directing people to their sin. All the little rules and regulations that the Pharisees had set up and taught as God's law was beyond a burden that even God had made in his law. It's impossible for us to keep his good and perfect law, let alone the endless amounts of regulations that can be built up by our own wickedness and self-aggrandizement. This isn't a call to overlook our brother's or sister's sin. But it's a call, too, is to be merciful as we look at our brother and sister in the light of God, knowing that we are also redeemed by grace. And let us then look at our brother and sister with merciful eyes and hearts as we come alongside one another to carry one another's burdens, to plod one another along, to encourage one another along in our walks with Jesus Christ. Let us, brothers and sisters, apply the law with mercy. Amen. Our gracious Father, we pray that you would help us to be merciful to our brothers and sisters as you, Lord, have been merciful to us. We know that we fall short, and so there are times when we have judged inappropriately, where we have elevated our own opinions and our own traditions to that of your law and cast judgment upon our brothers and sisters for not following what we believe is right. May you, Lord, forgive us when we have done this. May you, Lord, help us to get back to the bare truth of your word, to the bare truth of your law, the good and perfect law. And may we, Lord, apply it with mercy to our brothers and sisters. And may we also, Lord, apply it with mercy to our own lives and our own hearts. And not unduly cast judgment where you, Lord, have forgiven us. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.